is from Luke chapter 22, verses 47 to 53. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me, but this is your hour where darkness reigns."
Thank you, Colin. Can we come around? This comes a message now, I'm a sermon, and I promise Sandra, I always joke, she knows I like to talk a lot. Okay, is anyone else, I don't know if anyone else is like me, so I'll try not to be too long today. Last week in our church, we had a guest speaker, and I put him on early, and I said to him, he goes, "How long have I got?" And I told him the time, and he used every moment, every single second. But it reminds me, I don't know if Pastor Edwin has shared here before from Silverdale. This time last year, or I think it was just before, we had that really cold spell, and it was freezing, and the heater didn't come on in our church. And now we meet in an old building, and it's the old URC building in Burslem, and it was freezing. It was so cold. If I was preaching, I would have had the sermon early, quick, over and done with, fast. But because I invited them, people putting their coats on, people going blue. I thought, oh no, we need a doctor in here soon. And he kept preaching, and he kept preaching. And I'm sitting there, I'm trying to go nicely to him. Time out, stop. And he kept going, and he kept going. I still don't know what he preached on. All I know is I was freezing that night. So hopefully today, I won't overdo it. But as I mentioned earlier, I've been given the job today, the task of preaching on goodness and kindness. And hopefully the PowerPoint is going to go up now as well. And I hear from Liz that you've been going through the fruits of the Spirit the last few weeks. And I've entitled today, A Different Kindness and Goodness. And when we go through the fruits of the Spirit, we have, let's go through here, they said the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And I'm sure you've been looking at this and looking at these characteristics the last few weeks. But as Christians, I find often, I think, you know what, I've got myself together, yes. I look at those lists and I'm there going, I'm pretty loving, I'm pretty joyful, even though my daughters keep buying me grumpy clothes. Peace, I'm really peaceful until someone cuts me up, then I'm not so much. Forbearance, I don't know what that means, so hopefully you guys know from last week. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. The list goes on, we try and be good at it. But when I was at Bible college, I heard about a study, and it was in America, but us Brits will be just as guilty of this. And what they did was they asked some students at the Bible college, they said, can you go and can you preach on the Good Samaritan? And they set them different churches around the place to preach at. And on they set it up, so as these students were traveling to the church, they would find someone who was in need, who has been beaten up on the street. Do you know what they found? 20% of the students stopped for the people who were who needed need. The other 80% rushed straight to church because they had a preaching engagement to get to. And when I read it, I was like, oh! And then I thought, oh, that's me. That could be me so easily. You know, I thought I was kind. I thought I was good. But I could be like those Bible college students who were so concerned about getting to church to preach that I forgot about the people who are passed on the way. And so doing this sermon has actually challenged me quite a lot, and it's challenged me personally. So I hope today challenges you and builds you up and encourages you. Just as we start, this is not an ABC of how to be more kind. So if you're expecting that, put the earplugs in, go to sleep for a little bit, I don't mind. But today is going to be hopefully about just encouraging us. How do we grow? How do we grow in goodness and kindness? You know, as Christians, we're called to grow in these fruits. And as Paul suggests in the previous chapters of Galatians, we're called to follow the Holy Spirit. And following the Holy Spirit, these fruit come out in our lives. And these are not something that we can fake. For many years, I grew up in a church in a South African family. And I used to be terrified that if I did one thing wrong, I was going to go to hell. And I lived in fear. And I went to Christian camps, and I would be told about how I should be living as a Christian. I was a young guy. I'd come home, and they would say, "Read your Bible." I would start reading my Bible. I'd get really excited about reading my Bible. And then I'd start getting into Exodus and Leviticus. And then it got left on the floor, and I never did anymore. I tried to be really, really kind, and I struggled. I tried to be loving, and I found it really difficult. And I kept struggling as a young Christian. And then I discovered something that was absolutely amazing and life-transforming for me. And it was this. God's Holy Spirit said, "Help me. I'm not doing it by myself." Isn't that incredible? Every other religion teaches you know what? You've got to be just about good enough. And if you're just about good enough, you're good enough, you might just get into heaven. Christianity teaches you, well, you're not going to be good enough, but God made a way for you. He didn't just make a way for you to God through Jesus, but the Holy Spirit is there to help you become the person who God wants you to be. You're not in it by yourself. And when I discovered I wasn't in it by myself, it made a massive difference to my life. My life started getting transformed. I had a really bad family life when I was a kid, a really messed up life. And God helped me to forgive. God brought peace into my life where I had problems. God helped me to be a more loving person. And when I realized that these fruits of the Spirit, it wasn't something to beat me over the head with. It wasn't something that I needed to force myself to do, but actually, it's a result of God working through my life. I was like, wow, why didn't I know this before? It has saved so much heartache in my life. And after coming to England, we spent most of my life was either in Somerset or in Hereford. And now if anyone else thinks Kent is the best producer of fruit, they are heretics. Okay, not right. The best fruit in the world comes from Herefordshire. It is God's own back county. And one thing we discovered about fruit in Herefordshire, if you disagree with me, gosh, you're disagreeing with God. No, I'm joking. I would never say that, just a joke if you think I'm a bit arrogant. But the thing about fruit is if you force fruit to grow, which some people do, the taste is never quite the same. But for me, when I have asparagus that has been from Herefordshire or Worcestershire, that's fresh in May, with a little bit of butter, it's heaven. Or if I have a nice apple which has been grown, or strawberries that are fresh and they've grown outside, not been forced, the taste is so much sweeter, isn't it, than if it's been forced. And it's the same with the fruits of the Spirit. When we try and force goodness, when we try and force kindness, when we try and force ourselves to be kind to somebody, it's not quite the same as if kindness comes from deep within us. Kindness comes from what God has done in our lives. So I'm going to today just explore what this means. And when I was preparing today, Timothy Keller says this: the Spirit longs to conform us to Christ. Ultimately, this is what the Christian wants to do. And if you're a Christian today, hopefully you'll want to grow in kindness. Hopefully you'll want to grow in goodness. Why? Because we're called to become more and more like Jesus. And I don't know about you, but in my life, I want to be more like Jesus tomorrow than I am today. I want to be more like Jesus next year than I am today. And if I'm less like Jesus next year, I want to know why I'm less like Jesus. So today we're just going to say, look at what kindness and goodness means. Now, when I was preparing for today, Gordon Fee, I thought these are hard words to explain. Actually, what do they mean? And when I looked at my favorite theologian, Gordon Fee, he said the two hardest words to explain are kindness and goodness. What does it actually mean to be kind and to be good? So I'm going to go back. First thing I did was, if you need an answer to anything, I went to the fountain of all knowledge, which is Google, and I typed in, and I actually said, "Google, what is kindness?" I was too lazy to type it in. And this is what it said. It says, "Kindness is the quality of being friendly generous and considerate. And I thought, okay. So I looked into some other stuff about what kindness might mean. And this description of kindness, it sort of describes any half-decent person, doesn't it? Being friendly, generous, and considerate. But when I looked into it, I discovered that actually there's so much more to kindness than just these things. And I don't know much Greek. My favorite Greek words are moussaka and kebab. So I'm going to flick on here to some other Greek words that we've got. And the Greek word here for kindness is krestostis. I think it's how you say it. If you're a Greek expert, tell me afterwards. And it means this. It means serving others, doing generous and considerate things for the recognition. I'm sorry, not just for the recognition, but just for the sake of doing them. You know, it's so much more to kindness than just being nice to people. There's so much more to kindness than just buying someone a cup of coffee. There's so much more to kindness. And when I looked at where this word kindness appears in the Bible, I discovered that this word kindness, this word krestostis, also appears in Luke chapter 6, verse 35. And it says this, "But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High God, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked." Do you know the thing about being kind is this? Being kind is really, really easy when someone's kind to you. You know, the other day, I went and bought my friend lunch. And I said to my wife, I don't mind buying him lunch because he bought me lunch a couple of weeks ago. So it kind of feels fair, doesn't it? Kindness goes beyond that. Kindness is something deep inside of you. You do it without recognition, for no recognition. You do it even to your worst enemies. And I was trying to think, if there's a better way of describing kindness than Google's definition, it'll be this. Kindness is being generous and considerate and serving others, even our enemies, for no recognition or gain, out of a deeply held security of who we are in God. It's a bit deep, I do apologize. But it's much deeper than just being nice. You know, at my daughter's school, they're doing kindness over Lent, and it's great. And they're saying, we're trying to encourage the kids to do kindness, be kind to each other. And they said, well, if the kids be kind, they'll get a little gold star. I know my daughter is going to be obsessed with getting gold stars now to be kind. But if we think kindness is about getting a gold star, we've missed it. Kindness is just about being considerate and generous to other people because of who we are in Christ, because we're secure. It's not we're being generous because we might get a job promotion. We're not being generous to our kids because we hope they're not going to put us in a nursing home. We're not being generous to some other people because of the hope of something good's going to happen to us. No, we're being kind because it's who we are. It's who we are in God. And the only way we can get this true, deep sense of kindness in our hearts is by spending time with the Holy Spirit. It's by being guided by Christ. It's by being made like Jesus through the Holy Spirit. So that's goodness. Then we go on to, that's kindness even, going on to goodness. And again, I typed into Google what goodness is. And it says, goodness is the quality of being morally good or virtuous. Now, I'm dyslexic. And when I read that, I'm going, huh? That's a bit ambiguous, isn't it? It's a bit strange. What does that mean, morally good? What does morally good mean? Suddenly we get in this big debate. What does it actually mean to be good? And it's such a broad word. And the Greek words, I thought I'll go back to the Greek. I'll just discover what the Greek word means. And the Greek word's even harder to pronounce than the previous one. Agathosune is the original Greek word. And it says, goodness is doing the things that the way that God wants, showing integrity, being the same good person all the time, and not just when others are looking. Not goodness and integrity are very much linked together. In fact, Timothy Keller, theologian and a great preacher, he puts them together. Do you know what the really hard bit is sometimes? It's when we look at goodness, it's all right to show everyone we're good. But actually being good and doing what God wants when no one else is looking is really, really difficult. It's actually really challenging. You know, in my family, we never ever said grace in our house. We would all, literally, there's four boys, one girl, so there's seven of us in total, often as a guest. And it was like a fight who could eat their food the quickest, because we'd be nicking our food off the other one's plate if you finished early. So it was just like, you go, 3, 2, 1, go for it. And do you know the only time we ever prayed was when people from church came around? And my mum would be like, right, we're saying grace. And I'm going, what? What's grace, mum? She'd be like, no, Jim, we always say grace in our house. Don't lie. And she was good when the pastors came around. She was good when the church guys came around. When no one else is around, we never did it. It's like the old lady heard about a story, and the pastor comes to her house for lunch, and she goes to her son, go and get mama's favorite book. And her son goes, what do you mean? Go and get mama's favorite book from the other room. You know, the book that mama loves to read? And son goes, okay. He goes next door and brings her the TV guide. She's like, I wanted the Bible, not the TV guide. You know, it's easy in front of other people to pretend to be good. It's harder to have goodness and integrity when no one else is looking. And the challenge for us in these is kindness and goodness is they're not things that we can force. They're not things that we can just make happen in our lives. They're things that are deeply rooted inside of us when we know the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit working deep inside of us, not on a shallow level, not on a simple level, but on a deep level. And when I read this, when I read these two definitions, I'm not a bad person. I don't think I'm very bad. My wife might say differently, but I don't think. But I want to know God. I want to be more and more like Jesus. And Jesus had this kindness and this goodness rooted in him. And in the passage that we read in Luke 22 today, when Jesus was facing the toughest night of his life. Now, often you say that you know how what someone is made of when they go through a hard situation. It's easy to be good when everything's going well. It's easy to be kind when everyone's been kind to you. But when stuff is going against you, that is when the goodness and kindness are so hard to do. And so to put the setting of that passage that was read earlier, Jesus is coming in. He's in the garden. He's with his friends. He's waiting there. Jesus knows that he's going to his death. He knows he's going to die in the next day. It's not something small. It's not like, oh, I'm going to have a bad day tomorrow. I've got to face the boss. Nothing like that. He was facing life or death. And he's in the garden with his friends. His friends have already fallen asleep on him before. And then all of a sudden, as he's standing there, there's men turn up in the dark with almost not quite pitchforks, but they had their weapons with them. And they were there ready to arrest him. And you know, when it's dark, everything seems worse when you face things in the dark. And then one of Jesus' closest friends walks up to him and gives him a kiss and betrays him. He's innocent, he's done nothing wrong, and he's about to be arrested and killed for something he's not done wrong. How would you feel in that position? I tell you what, I wouldn't be feeling good and I wouldn't be feeling kind. And as Jesus' disciples go, oh, Jesus, we got some swords, we're going to go for it. And he said, no. But before he even thinks, Peter, doesn't say it in Luke's gospel, but it's Peter, he gets his sword out, he chops the ear off one of the men who's come to get Jesus. Kind of, you might be a pacifist here today, but you kind of see it's justice, isn't it? They've come to take an innocent man away. It's only fair. One person gets his ear chopped off. Jesus is going to die. It's fair. And Jesus does something, not for any recognition, not because he needs to for any status, but Jesus says, no more of this. He touched the man's ear and he healed him. You know, when Jesus was going through the hardest night of his life, he showed goodness and kindness. He could have left that boy. He didn't hurt that boy. He didn't do anything wrong to that boy. He was innocent of it. But that kindness and that goodness of Jesus meant that he healed that boy and he touched that boy who had his ear chopped off. When I looked at that and I thought about it, I'm saying, you know what? That changes how I look at goodness and kindness. Because goodness and kindness isn't just about putting an extra, it's good to do this, isn't about putting an extra loaf of bread in or whatever into the food bank trolley at the supermarket. It's more than that. It's not doing something because we might get recognized for it. It's more than that. Jesus had goodness and kindness in his deep inside his soul. Yet it deep inside of him. You know, when we see Jesus with how it was working out, it's incredible the situation he's going through and the goodness and the kindness he can show. You know, joking aside, I get really angry when I'm driving my car. I get really angry when someone cuts me up. I want the policeman to lock him up in prison for 10 years. How dare they do it? You know, when someone is rude to my children or to my wife or to me, I'm really angry. And Jesus here shows goodness and kindness to someone who's about to come and arrest him and put him in prison. It takes it up a level. I'm coming in to finish. I'm coming in to land now, but can I encourage you today? Show goodness and kindness, not for what you can get out of it, but because of what God's doing in your life. Seek to have it in your life that you're not just a kind person because you want everyone to remember you as being the nice, kind person. Do it because you want to become more like Jesus. But if you think you're kind today, and I'm sure some of you are really kind compared to me, and I'm not denying that. But the question I've got is, I can't show kindness the way that Jesus showed kindness in that story, then I need to ask the Holy Spirit to make me more kind. If I can't show the same goodness that Jesus showed, the same integrity that Jesus showed in his darkest hour, then I need to pray that the Holy Spirit makes me gooder. I know it's not a proper English word, but that's one of my... And I'm just going to finish with a story, this brief, quick thing. When I was younger and I was a lad, I went to a Methodist church. I was the youngest by about 50 years in the church. And maybe 60 years, actually. And I wasn't really a Christian. My mum was. I sort of went along because my mum nagged me. If I didn't go to church, she would hassle me. So I went to church because it was easier than not going to church. And there's two guys there. And one was called Mervyn and one was called Don. And what they did was... Mervyn knew I went to a school, knew there was a Christian union at my school. So what he did was, he said one day to me, he said, Jim, I'm going to pick you up every single Friday afternoon from the Christian union at your school. I'm like, Mervyn, that's a 25-mile, probably even close to a 30-mile round trip. He said, doesn't matter. He said, I want you to go along to it. So every Friday afternoon, he would go and he would pick up this young lad from school. No recognition. For no another reason that he wanted me to be able to go along to that Christian union. That's kindness. There's another chap in the church called Don. I came really, really close to him. I was from a single mum family, really tough at times. And my mum was disabled. She couldn't get to my rugby matches. And I started playing rugby. So Don would make it his mission to get along to at least one rugby match every single month so that I could have someone there cheering me on. Do you know what? Those guys, they didn't do it for recognition. They didn't do it because they thought it's what they're supposed to do. Those are two guys who saw a young chap in the church who needed some kindness and goodness in their lives. Both of those guys have gone to be with Jesus now. But I don't think they'll ever realize the impact until we get to heaven that they had in my life. Goodness and kindness for them wasn't just something that they forced. You couldn't have committed to what they committed to and showed as much good love and kindness as they did without it being deep in your soul. Can I encourage you today? Spend time with the Holy Spirit. Spend time reading the Bible. Spend time praying. Never get complacent. And just pray that God helps to grow these fruit in your lives. Let's pray.